Okay, if you want to manage entropy, you need to look at the entire process, whether it's the cause and effect or just the steps in a process. I think you also need to identify what it is that you want to maintain. If I'm going to go on vacation, I know that vacation is going to do a couple things. It's going to take me out of my current environment. It's going to take me out of my schedule. It's going to put me in a new environment. It's going to change the resources that I have access to. I think the primary function of this podcast is to help me solve my own problems, because I tend to figure things out when I'm talking out loud. Obviously, I want to help other people and help them open their mind to new possibilities, but this really is my journal and it's my therapy. So here we are. I have a problem in my life that I need to solve. I think we all struggle with it at times because we're fighting against one of the most powerful natural laws and forces in the universe. And that is entropy. Entropy is the universe's tendency to fall into chaos. For instance, if you have a jar and you layer the bottom of it with red marbles, and then you put yellow marbles in a neat row on top of it, and then blue marbles in a neat row on top of that, what's going to happen when you shake the jar? Well, the least likely scenario is that every marble ends up right back where it started. And then the second least likely scenario is that all the marbles end up categorized by color still. I mean, you know that's not going to happen. The chances are so small that it's impossible. Like it literally won't happen. You will never see a Guinness Book of World Records record. I could have just said a world record. You'll never see a world record for jar of marbles shaken and marbles put back where they belong. And entropy is the reason for that. Entropy is also the reason why, no matter how hard you try, the dishes always end up piling up. Isn't that frustrating? You can be the cleanest person in the world, and I won't believe for one second that you've never had the dishes pile up, and that you've never looked at the dishes and gone, yeah, I really don't want to do that right now. Later this month, my wife and I are going to California for the first time. And at the end of this week, our friend and roommate is going to somewhere else. And then in between those two things, we have a friend from New York coming to visit. And then we also have a wedding in between that and our trip. So this is the chaos, right? The order would be none of this is happening and my schedule stays exactly the same. I stay in the exact same place, do the exact same things. But chaos will be introduced. And so there's a lot of stuff coming up, and I have this habit of thinking, okay, when the end of this month is over, like, things will be calm again. Things will go back to normal. And that is not a very healthy way of looking at life. It's also just not very helpful. And it's also not true. Some other chaotic element is going to materialize in my life. And I really need to stop approaching life with this perspective that, oh, I just need to like deal with this as best I can right now, and then things will be normal. Like, I've always thought that. Our move to Nashville from Missouri was crazy. And it was so crazy. And we were like, okay, things will be normal once we get there. And it wasn't true. We both lost our remote jobs. Lost as in we were working for free for a couple months and got tired of not getting paid, so we quit. But that's besides the point. Well, then we needed to sell our car. And then I needed to get a new job. And then that job didn't work out. And then I needed to figure out what I was going to do. And then I ended up Ubering. But then some other crazy things happened with family. And it just never ends. It never ends. The chaos is way too persistent for you to think that you can somehow be rid of it someday. My throat's a little dry today, and I'm also outside. I don't know if you're going to be able to hear it in the audio, but the weather is just too perfect, and I'm really wanting to enjoy it, so here I am, and it's nice. So, I'm not sure if this problem resonates with you or not. I'd be willing to bet it does in some way or another. But I want to work through this struggle that I have and figure out how to better manage entropy in my life. So I say managing entropy because it changes the idea from, oh, I just need to like basically get over it once. I need to put it behind me once. And instead it's like, hey, a manager of a store doesn't just manage the store until it's running perfectly and then they stop managing it. Like they manage it continuously so that it can run well. And I think that entropy needs to be treated the same way because it's persistent. And that's really the idea here. I've mentioned many times before on the podcast and in other places too that I believe consciousness is the opposing force to entropy. And so if you have this expectation that entropy, you can suddenly put it behind you and not have to like deal with it after, you know, a certain series of events or whatever, really what you're saying is, hey, I'm going to be conscious about this for now, and then eventually I'll be able to just be unconscious about it. Or not conscious, because there's a difference between subconscious and not conscious. So it's like, yeah, entropy is a persistent force. And if you want to have some form of organization or order or just direction in your life at all, your conscious energy, the opposing force to entropy, also needs to be persistent. And that's very difficult to do whenever you do it in high intensity spurts and then nothing. High intensity spurts and then nothing. High intensity spurts where it's super stressful and super chaotic and you don't know what to do because all the chaos is just overwhelming. And then you get through it and there's nothing. That's one of the reasons why things pile up the way they do. That's one of the reasons why you have a sink full of dishes. And when I say you, I'm talking to myself because I have a sink full of dishes right now. Now, I tried this. I tried managing it just this past week. We got the dishes cleaned. And then for a few days after that, I was like, all right, we're going to clean the dishes as we go. So every time we use a dish, we just clean it. Just clean it, set it out to dry. But here's the problem. I didn't set a plan in place to take the dishes that have air dried and put them away. So what happens when there's no more room on the drying rack? Well, I have an excuse to not wash a dish because it's like, there's nowhere to put it. Man, it's really, my throat has been really dry lately. So you see what I'm getting at, right? I tried to manage one part of the equation, but the other part was neglected. And this is the issue we run into as a household all the time anyway, is that, okay, we let the dishes pile up. We get sick of it because we don't like living like that. So then we clean the dishes, right? We wash them. We run them through the dishwasher, whatever. And then we don't put them away when they're dry, when they're done. Well, what do you expect is going to happen when there's no room for the dishes to be cleaned? You're not going to clean them. And the logical solution is, okay, when you need to clean the dishes, you unload the dishwasher so that you can clean the dishes. But it doesn't work that way. We like to take the path of least resistance. And I'm going to continue to use the dishes as, I mean, it's not even a metaphor. Like, dishes are literally one of the biggest examples of entropy in my life, which I guess is a good thing. Like, I'm really grateful that out of all the things, the dishes are like the thing that continue. But it's also because we have to eat every day. So, yeah, I'm going to keep using the dishes. I want to work through this problem because, as always, I'm not going to come up with a perfect solution. I'm not going to have all the answers by the end of this podcast. What I would really like is to just have a better idea of how to solve this problem and how to improve the symptoms of this problem. So I want to go back to what I said about a week ago. Well, what I said a minute ago about last week, which is that I tried to approach this with, you know, I had a good idea, which is, hey, when I use a dish, right, when it's a fork or a plate or a pot or something, then I just wash it. Okay, well, I already identified that the reason why this didn't work for very long is, well, probably a couple of things. I'm not the only person in the house. There's two other adults in the house, and I didn't make sure everyone was on the same page about that. Now, part of me is afraid of doing that because I try to get everyone on the same page about things pretty often in my life. It's not that everyone has to do what I want them to do or agree with me. It's just, hey, like, whatever we do, I would like us to be on the same page, even if it's not my idea, because I like there to be harmony. And I also know that it's hard to get things to work whenever everyone's on different pages. So I've tried to do that with my family in big and small ways. I've tried to do that with, you know, siblings-in-law, like spouse, friends, whatever. So that was something that I didn't do. And yeah, of course, if I'm washing my dishes when I'm done with them and no one else is, what do you think's going to happen? Okay, so there's a hole in the plan. And then the other hole in the plan is I just left out the other part of the equation, the last part of it, which is when a dish is washed, a dish needs to be dried. And when a dish is dried, it needs to be put away. So, no, Luna, no. Luna's been on... No! Stop it! Thank you. I know it sounds like I'm being mean, but Luna's trying to eat her own shit right now. I don't know why she's been on antibiotics and steroids for some crazy rash thing she had. And the vet said that some dogs get like roid rage, like they get aggressive and mean and whatever. Well, that's not in Luna's character. And sure enough, she has not been angry. She's just been super weird. She's been super weird. She's had this like goofy look on her face for like 2 weeks straight now. And she just recently started scavenging her own shit from the yard and eating it. And she's never had this behavior before. She did this once, one time when she was a puppy. Yeah, I know it's gross, but there's a reason why I'm like, yo, stop doing that. That's disgusting, please. And she needs to be a little... I need to be firm with her because she desperately like is trying to get at it. So anyway, that's a really gross detour. So if we zoom out from the dishes really quick, I think that what we're really looking at here is, okay, if you want to manage entropy, you need to look at the entire process, whether it's the cause and effect or just the steps in a process. And I think you also need to identify what it is that you want to maintain, right? What order do you want to maintain? So for instance, if I'm going to go on vacation, I know that vacation is going to do a couple things. It's going to take me out of my current environment. It's going to take me out of my schedule. It's going to put me in a new environment. It's going to change the resources that I have access to. It's probably going to change my motivation. It shouldn't change your discipline, but it's going to change your motivation, right? Motivation is an emotion. Discipline is a habit. So your emotions are going to change while you're on vacation, and maybe motivation goes up, maybe it goes down, whatever. I mean, typically you go on vacation to relax. There are a lot of things I try to do in my life to relax, but really I end up just exhausting myself more. Like when we go to nature areas with swimming and stuff, instead of me laying on a floaty and relaxing like my wife likes to do, I instead I'm climbing around and going underwater and jumping off stuff, and I just never slow down. So typically you go on vacation to relax. So vacation's going to do a couple things. Well, now I need to identify, okay, what order is important to me to maintain? What am I managing entropy against? And for me, an example of that would be my Substack and this podcast. So I've been consistently putting out a newsletter a week and a podcast episode a week for the past few weeks. I had about a 2-week break, but before that I was still really consistent. So that's important to me. And I got to ask, okay, how important to you is that? Are you okay with not doing a podcast episode while you're gone? Under normal circumstances, yes. However, I've set a goal for myself to reach a certain amount of Substack subscribers, paid subscribers on Substack, by the end of the year, December 25th, my Christmas present to myself. And if I want to do that, I've identified what I need to do to make that happen. And one of those things is to release a podcast episode and a newsletter once a week. So am I willing to give that up when I go on vacation? No, I'm not. So this is where managing entropy comes in. And luckily, it's the dishes and a vacation are predictable, right? So let's work with the predictables first, and then we can get to some unpredictables, because unpredictables sounds like a cereal. What is it? Oh, Lunchables. Okay, Lunchables are like, we all know what Lunchables are. Unpredictables are like a kid's cereal, but you don't know what's in it. It could be like Cheerios mixed with peanut butter Cap'n Crunch. Or it could be the Cap'n Crunch berries with the Cocoa Pebbles. Unpredictables coming to a store near you. So yeah, we'll deal with those in a minute because those are a little bit more difficult. But for the predictables, we have vacation, we have the dishes, we have laundry. We have putting gas in the car, right? That's the thing you need to do routinely. So I've identified that I don't want to give this thing up. I want to maintain order in this thing, right? I won't be exercising as much because I'm not going to be pedicabbing when we're in California. I'm okay with letting that go for a week, but I'm not okay with not putting out a podcast episode and a newsletter. So now, because it's predictable, I just need to figure out the different steps, right? I need to figure out, okay, what equipment do I need? And then I need to figure out, when am I going to do it? Am I going to change the day that I do it? Well, I might not have to do that because actually I will have to do that. So this is a great example. I'm thinking ahead right now. Our stay in LA ends on a Monday, and then we'll be driving down to San Diego and basically spending most of the day Monday in San Diego. Well, today is Monday when I'm recording this podcast, and it will be releasing this coming Sunday. So I won't be able to record on Monday morning, which probably means while I'm out there, I'm going to need to record on the weekend. And I'll have to ask myself, am I okay with that? So I don't know the answer to that, but yeah, I basically need to plan the day that I'm going to record my podcast. And it's like, okay, then you need to plan the day that you're going to write your newsletter. And it's probably going to take a day or two. So that's an example of something predictable. I need to manage that entropy mentally ahead of time. I need to bring the equipment with me that I need. So that means I need to bring a laptop. And I need to bring some sort of microphone. So here's the other thing. All right, am I willing to pay extra to take all of my equipment with me? No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. If I had the amount of listeners that it would matter more to do that, then I probably wouldn't have an issue with paying extra anyway. Let's just say that. So I'll probably just record my podcast on my phone and then edit it in Logic on the laptop. That's what I'm going to have to do. So, cool. So that's an example. Let's go to the dishes, just to clarify this idea a little more. If I live with other people and I want the dishes, basically, Luna, no. Stop it. Go away. That is crazy. I've never seen a living being want to consume their feces more than this dog right now. Gross. Okay. So if I live with other people and I want the dishes basically to be clean at the end of every night, right? Clean and maybe put away. First, I need to communicate that desire with the other people around me. Otherwise, the entropy that is acting on them will totally overwhelm whatever organization or order I'm trying to enact. So then I need to figure out what are the steps of the process. Well, the steps are you use a dish, you clean a dish, you put a dish out to dry or dry it yourself, and you put a dish away. There's four steps there. And then I need to figure out how do we act on those four steps. And so we go through a cycle. Here's an example. Whenever you use a dish, you clean it. Now, if it's for a meal, which most of the time it is, let's say you have a pot. The rule is that when you're done eating, you need to clean the pot, right? You don't want to clean it right after you're done cooking because then your food goes cold and that sucks. That's one of the worst things about cooking is that you can slave in the kitchen for, you know, half hour, an hour. And then by the time you get the food plated and you sit down to eat, it's like cold. It's like, what the hell? I did all that effort and now I get cold food. So that's fun. So yeah, the rule can be you clean the pot after you're done eating, right? It's like, okay, well, what if you're in a rush? Well, you should have planned for that. If you want the dishes to stay clean, you need to plan an extra 2 minutes to clean your dishes when you're done using them. See, so there's a lot of different components to this. And then you need to set it out to dry. And then the rule is either you maybe the rule could be that everyone puts the dishes away whenever they see that there's dry dishes on the rack, because it makes it easier for you and it makes it easier for other people. And boom, there you have a cycle, but everyone needs to agree on it. So there's that. Let's move to unpredictables. The children's cereal that you can find on the shelf at Walmart. So unpredictables could be something like something wrong with your car. I mean, you know something's going to go wrong with your car eventually, right? So it's semi-predictable, but you can't predict the timing of it. That would be nice. It seems to always happen at the worst time. So maybe that is predictable. It's like, all right, if things seem a little crazy in my life right now, I can expect something to go wrong with my car. All that said, the Corolla that we have has been great, but I've had my fair share of car troubles in the past. So let's say car troubles. All right, Well, one thing that you can do to manage that entropy is to set aside a certain amount of money every paycheck. Now, it could be a little bit, it could be a lot. Everyone's got a different financial situation, but I think most people in my generation are really struggling to save any money at all, because we're at this weird crossroads where it's like, okay, the economy is so bad and it feels pointless to save money because you can barely save any at all anyway. And I don't want to eat rice and beans and not do anything fun because also tomorrow isn't guaranteed. So let's have a balance of financial responsibility and also enjoying life. And because there's really just no room to save money for a lot of people, you spend whatever extra you do have, whether it's 20 bucks or 100 bucks, and you spend that on making your life more enjoyable, like going out to eat or, you know, hanging out with friends and grabbing some drinks or whatever, you know, and none of that's necessary. And you can put that off and save and reach for a goal. That's all great. That's what we're doing with our California trip right now. But the thing is, we could die tomorrow and we'll have lived today a little less than we could have. It's this very difficult balance. So I'm saying all that to say that if you want to manage, you know, if you know that your car is maybe a little troublesome, then try to manage that entropy ahead of time by saving a little bit of money. Set aside some money, pull it out in cash if you need to, and just be like, all right, managing car entropy, right? And, you know, over time, boom, you have 100 bucks or 500 bucks saved up. And that's great because you're prepared if something happens with your car. Obviously, much more expensive things can happen. Another thing you could do is get slightly better insurance. Be like, all right. Now, this ventures into the territory of like being paranoid, which never helps. I think you also can project problems like that into existence, which that's not good either. So I trust that you'll take the approach that you feel is balanced. But I'm just giving some examples here. Here are some other unpredictables, right? Let's say someone in your family dies and you have to go to the funeral and it kind of throws off your work schedule or whatever other schedule you have, which to be fair, like a family member dying is way more important and takes priority over like normal stuff. So obviously it's not going to be like a hard decision for you to make, unless this family member is somebody that treated you horribly. So that aside, what are some ways that you could manage that entropy? I would say just, so instead of thinking about scenarios individually, I think if you look at the macro, one way to manage entropy is to think about what's important in your life. What is it important for you to do consistently, uninterrupted, no matter what? And you can't do this with everything. That's the thing. Part of managing it is being selective, right? A manager can't like be everywhere at once in the store doing everything. That's why they need to delegate. And that's why they also just need to trust other people. Or in this case, you need to trust other aspects of your life. You need to trust the universe or God or whatever. So you can't be like 100% on 100% of things. And so for me, like I've tried to be 100% with exercise and my job and my creativity and my relationship. And the thing is, I just can't do that. It's too much. So recently I've had to let go of trying to be 100% with my ideal exercise routine. And I'm a little less fit and a little less stressed because of it. And that's just the L I'm willing to take. But the thing that I've been uncompromising on is my creativity and my business, my career with writing and stuff like that. My career is going to be a very mixed bag of creative outlets, but that's okay. I'm excited for it. So yeah, I've been slightly compromising on my work. Like I haven't gotten out and worked at the exact time that I've said that I need to every day, but it's working out. So yeah, that's just an example. I think that in order for you to manage entropy in your life, you gotta be very specific on what it is you want to maintain order with. What are you okay with being tossed about? And what are you okay with things with, or not okay with? What do you want to maintain consistency with? Now, at the end of the day, like, life's going to throw things at you and you can't always be 100% with everything. Like, something's going to come up. But what I've done for my goal sheet for my business, for my my Substack subscriber goal, is I basically made a list of conditions. I said, okay, I will not reschedule my times to work if the event could have been planned ahead better. So if it could have been planned ahead of time and coordinated better, if people, not just me, right? Sometimes it's not just me. Some people bring things up last minute and it's not just me. So if someone else brings up something and they want to, you know, let's say go to lunch or whatever, it's like, okay, could they have asked me with more time in advance? If that's, okay, I don't know what is going on with the, I think it was maybe the headphones. If that was avoidable, then no, I'm not going to reschedule. I'm not going to change my plan for creating in the morning. I basically said, okay, if it's an emergency involving these people, and I literally listed them out, then I will change my schedule and I will do it at a different time. And if I absolutely have to, if I have to just skip a week, I'm going to let people know. Oh, great. My neighbor dog is so annoying. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. If I have to reschedule and skip a week, then I'll let people know. I'll let my followers know. So I've set those conditions in place. And I've, you know, in life, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you tolerate. I can't remember who coined that phrase, but I think it's true. I think that when you set boundaries for yourself, you start getting more things that align with those boundaries. It's crazy. Like, I'm setting a boundary of like, hey, I'm not going to make less than this a week. Like, I will not tolerate that. All of a sudden, I'm able to make more money. It's crazy. This is why I highly recommend, if you're a creative person, you put yourself in a position to be open to receiving more money. So if you're working a job that has a set amount per hour, that's probably not ideal for someone who's wanting to build a business and do some sort of creative endeavor, because you're locked in. And the likelihood of you making more money for some random reason is very low. Whereas if you do gig work, you know, you're open to meeting new people and getting tips and crazy things happening. So that's a tip for you. Do some freelance/like gig work if you want to open the universe up an opportunity to send more money your way. So yeah, I think that that's probably the best solution I can come up with at the moment, is just like, set boundaries for yourself. Be very clear on what you will and will not bend for. Be clear about what you will and will not tolerate. And as you set those boundaries, you will start acting in alignment with them, and you will start proving yourself to yourself. That's the other thing. Confidence comes from proof. And so if you want to be confident that this works, if you want to be confident that you are managing entropy and that you're maintaining a sense of order about your life as much as you can without it being too restrictive, then you need to build up the proof that it works. And the way that you do that is by setting boundaries and sticking to them. So I've been consistent with my new goal for 2 weeks now. I haven't missed any checkbox that I've needed to mark off. And that feels good. And I'm building more confidence in myself and my ability to actually reach a goal. I've set many goals in the past, and I don't know how many of them I've ever hit. How am I supposed to be confident in myself, in my ability to just improve and manage the chaos around me when I've never actually hit a goal that I've set? I've hit a few, but I've also disappointed myself in a lot of ways. In this one, I'm not willing to give this one up. And no matter what chaos comes my way, I have to be willing to maintain my boundaries and work with it as best I can. And you can improve your level of, quote, best by setting boundaries and creating a plan and communicating with people close to you that might impact your order. So those are my thoughts on managing entropy. And I think it's important to do, because if you don't do it, you're just going to be constantly spinning your wheels. You're going to be constantly behind and stressed. And that is no way to live. It's no fun. It's much better to manage things. It's much more enjoyable to have an empty sink than a full one. And I'm not referring to a glass half full kind of metaphor. I'm speaking very literally. So, all right. This was fun. Hope you guys enjoyed. Go and check out my Substack, nolanboyd.substack.com. You can subscribe to my newsletter for free and check out some of my other projects as well. And I'll catch you guys on the next one. See ya.